From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Dustin wraps up his conversation with Stu Swanson of the Iowa Corn Growers Association. Riley Smith is joined by Greg McBride of Allendale to discuss Friday's WASDE report. And Andy and Dustin discuss the latest agronomic conditions. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
All right, Mark, a gorgeous Monday as we get going on the Iowa Ag Matters program. Dustin Huffman, great to be back with you. And reading some agronomy advice this week, maybe with some rain in the forecast later on in the week. Great to see some wet weather for some of us this past weekend. But with the warm temperatures, it's certainly tempting to maybe get some alfalfa in. However, most of the advice that I've seen is it's still really early, even though it may not feel like it. Maybe if we can afford to wait a little bit, that may be less risky.
You know, that has been what we've been hearing. A lot of things, as I mentioned last week, too, you know, at Commodity Classic, that was one of the biggest messages we got was everybody wants to go. Everybody's thinking, hey, the weather's been great. We're not done with winter yet. We unfortunately still have about 10 days left, technically. And that doesn't mean it just stops at the drop of a hat. Now, 74 degrees seems a little hard to do all that. But, yeah, we'll talk more about that coming up here. Right now, time for Greg McBride to talk to Mark Magnuson about what's going on in the marketplace.
Joined today by Greg McBride of Allendale for our opening market discussion. Greg, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
Oh, we're starting out a little bit lower this week, a little bit of back and fill from Friday's report day rally. It wasn't anything that was really bullish on that report. It was just that it wasn't as bearish as what we've seen in the recent past here. So we'll kind of move forward from that. We did make no changes to the U.S. Balance sheets for this side of things. So looking out to the South American situation, a little bit disappointing to see the USDA only lower soybeans in Brazil by 1 million tons, made no change to corn. So that situation still remains to be seen as to why they're slow playing things a little bit. CONAB should be coming out today or tomorrow with their information, and we'll have a note of where they finish or where they come in. And that should set the tone for what we do for the rest of this week.
As you mentioned, with USDA not making as much of a cut to that number, for example, the soybean number in Brazil, as we might have thought they would have, is that by design, Greg, that the USDA does not make those cuts in a bigger fashion than sometimes we think they should?
Yeah, they typically are a little more on the conservative side thing when they are making changes to overall production. They do that here in the U.S. Along the way. A lot of times they'll wait until the crop is fully made or even harvested before they really make significant cuts. And a lot of times by that time we've seen smaller cuts that end up being reversed a little bit. That's what we saw in our own crop last year was we had cuts throughout. And then when we got to the January report, which is technically what they call the final report, even though they can change it later on, there were upward revisions that set the bearish tone for the market to start the year.
Monday morning, Greg, what stories are you watching this week that could potentially move the market?
Well, a lot of focus is now going to turn to the March 29th report, the acreage report, the planted prospective plantings report, the quarterly grain stocks reports. Those are big big reports. Those can move markets. A lot of times when we're coming off a year like what we've seen, we had prices that started out a certain way for beans. They were penciled in better than corn. So the expectation is that you'll see if some additional bean acres take away some of those corn acres. Right now it's about split up 3 million or so on beans, down about 3 to 4 million on corn. But we're still talking the advantage on the corn side at about 90 million acres, 90 to 91 million acres for the corn side of things. But that'll be the focus as we move forward here. Obviously, we'll continue to watch the weather in South America as Argentina gets ready or gets into that pollination time frame, and Brazil is finishing out their harvest and their Safrinha corn planting here.
Well, we'll have more with Greg McBride of Allendale coming up talking livestock a little later on, but right now Andy Peterson's here with three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
A bullish reaction to a really neutral report, USDA's WASDE on Friday. didn't change a whole heck of a lot, but Greg McBride with Allendale telling the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network the markets have faced so many bearish factors recently that a neutral report really is almost a positive.
The bigger thing that that I'll be looking at is the USDA did play it a little bit safe on Brazil. We were down 1 million tons on Brazil soybean production at 155, but they didn't change the corn. They left that the same at 124. Argentina was up on corn by 1 million tons and no change on soybeans.
Markets are taking a slight step back here today, but to Greg's point about the South American crop size, a lot of private estimates are up to 10 million metric tons below that USDA number.
Number two.
Starting quickly in 2024, our pork exports, according to our friends at the U.S. Meat Export Federation, data compiled from USDA, which shows that exports during the month of January were led by another strong performance in Mexico, the number one market for American pork. As far as the numbers go, 6% higher than a year ago on volume. Export value rose 6% as well, with the CEO Dan Holstrom saying that the demand for U.S. pork is so spectacular that, quote, it can overshadow some of the other success stories.
Number one.
A bullish reaction to a really neutral report, USDA's WASD on Friday, didn't change a whole heck of a lot, but Greg McBride with Allendale telling the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network the markets have faced so many bearish factors recently that a neutral report really is almost a positive.
The bigger thing that I'll be looking at is the USDA did play it a little bit safe on Brazil. We were down 1 million tons on Brazil soybean. Soybean production at 155, but they didn't change the corn. They left that the same at 124. Argentina was up on corn by 1 million tons and no change on soybeans.
Markets are taking a slight step back here today, but to Greg's point about the South American crop size, a lot of private estimates are up to 10 million metric tons below that USDA number. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Well, we're just getting the ball rolling here for this week on Iowa Ag Matters. We're going to be back right after this on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, let's continue the conversation on planting. Believe it or not, we are in early March. Andy and Dustin on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Thanks to Riley for making us sound good. As always, mentioned earlier, Dustin, conversation maybe about putting in some oats and alfalfa, but the advice is to wait for the same reason waiting on planting soybeans this time of year, and that is you really have to get past the end of May to get out of the frost risk of alfalfa. In other words, it's just as susceptible as soybeans are. If it comes up a little bit and gets frosted, then your alfalfa stand will be shot. And of course, plant oats hoping for, you know, years of hay afterwards, right? So you really are running the risk of severely damaged plant if you get that in the ground now, especially if you can do it in just a day or two, even though the thought of not planting corn to get the oats in is a little bit on the scary side. So that is one conversation. The other conversation, okay, so what do you do instead, right? If you've got absolutely nothing to do other than go out and do some seeding, well, I have an idea, and it comes from Troy Dietmeyer, actually, Pioneer's outstanding agronomist in northeastern Iowa. In his weekly agronomy update, or at least one of them that I receive and read each and every week, he says, it gives you the opportunity, Dustin, to take your planter and maybe put in a pass or two and evaluate row by row how well you're doing. So we don't need to full-scale seed, and we also don't need to seed a whole lot, but an opportunity to actually do some evaluation now rather than in the heat of the battle when they need to be moving. And this comes from experience last year from our friends at Ag PhD, where they hand-picked 17 and a half feet or 1/100th of an acre and tracked individual rows. And the difference in yield is incredible per row of the planter. You kind of follow what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I am. That's interesting. 1/100th of an acre. And so what kind of variance? You wouldn't think that in that small of an area, you know, when you think about the length of the width of the planter, that you would see that much variation. And that also goes back to the whole idea of, you know, making sure you're doing your testing and your soil sampling and all your grid testing, because there's that much variance. But what were they seeing coming out of those results?
Lowest yield was row 24 at 166 bushels to the acre. Highest yield was right next to it, row 23 of a 24 row planter, of course, at 234. Now that's 58 bushels an acre difference between rows of a planter in performance. And as far as the ears go, 24 ears in a couple of the rows, the highest being 31. So 7 ears or 7 plants in 17 and a half feet. That's pretty substantial if you extrapolate that out to the number of acres a 24 row planter can cover. So there's obviously some optimization that could take place or needs to take place within each planter pass that could make a substantial yield difference come, you know, September, October, right? That sounds like something that's worth doing, doesn't it?
Yeah, that it does. That's quite interesting. Well, we'll have more here on Iowa Ag Matters coming up next.
It's March. Even though for the most part this winter has been overly mild, there's still nothing quite like the excitement of planting season and new life and growth right around the corner. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. It's fun. It can be breathtaking and also be a very dangerous time of year. Hi there, Andy Peterson, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, with a quick reminder of a few things we can do to help reduce that risk during the very busy planting season, like thoroughly inspecting all equipment before going to fields. Try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be the difference sometimes between life or death. Planting season is a sprint, yet it's also important to do it right and be cognizant of what's happening around you and come home safely to your families each and every evening. We want to be around to have our discussions about the growing season after planting season has concluded. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Well, market's taking just a little bit of a step back after reacting positively to basically a neutral, probably, WASDE report. You're hearing Craig McBride talk about that. We'll have more reaction from that WASDE, including an in-depth analysis coming up. But right now, the lower market prices impacting elevator prices, and Dustin Hoffman has those for you in just a moment.
Time to run down some of those elevator numbers for you here on Iowa Ag Matters for March the 11th. I'm Dustin Hoffman, welcoming Cargill and Muscatine back onto the list as the river has reopened and they're going to be taking deliveries once again. Let's start at ADM Burlington, a dime under on corn, 425, soybeans 7 cents under, they're at 1170. Cargill and Eddyville and 15 cents under on corn, cash bid $4.20. New Co-op Algona, 17 cents under on corn, 418, soybeans 60 cents under at 1117. Ag State Sheldon, 4 cents under on corn, 431, soybeans 73 cents under, they're at 1104. At Ag State Elta, 21 cents under on corn, cash bid 414, soybeans 67 cents under at 1110. Cargill Cedar Rapids, even on corn today, 435, soybeans a nickel under at 1172. Next is Co-op Marble Rock, they're a nickel under on corn, $4.30, soybeans 50 cents under at 1127. At Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, they're a nickel under on corn, cash bid $4.30. At ADM Des Moines, they're 12 cents under on soybeans, they're at 1165. New Co-op Red Oak, 20 cents under on corn, $4.15, soybeans 50 cents under at 1127. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 35 cents under on corn, cash bid $4, soybeans 53 cents under at 1124. New Co-op Sheraton, 35 cents under on corn, $4 even. Soybeans, 55 cents under at 11.22. Walk-on Feed Ranch, 24 cents under on corn, $4.11. Soybeans, 43 cents under at 11.34. New Co-op Glidden, they're 17 cents under on corn. Cash bid, $4.18. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 11.27. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 20 cents under on corn. They're at $4.15. Soybeans, 39 cents under. Cash bid, 11.38. Cargill Muscatine, they're reopened, and they are 17 cents under on corn at $4.18. Soybeans, 13 cents under at 11.64. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been a check of the elevator bids here on Iowa Ag Matters. Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. More markets still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the grain and livestock prices at midday. Don't forget about our free market analysis sent right to your mobile device through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Market Podcast, available through Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean. We have more Iowa Ag Matters still to come, so stay with us.
Continuing the conversation market-wise here on Iowa Ag Matters today, Andy and Dustin, and we welcome in now Riley Smith, who does an outstanding job putting this show together each and every day for an extended conversation on the numbers from Friday, and maybe more so than that, the implications in the marketplace of what was really kind of a ho-hum report, despite all of the expectations, not many changes, but it could have an impact. Riley and Greg McBride from Allendale right now.
Now, first off, Greg, what do we see in those numbers from today's report?
Well, on the U.S. Ending stock side of things, there was no change to corn or soybeans. They left corn at 2.172 billion bushels. Beans were left at 315 million bushels. So no changes there. We were looking for a slight increase on beans, a slight decrease on corn. Didn't do anything with that. This is one of the first times that we can remember here in a while where there's literally been no change. A lot of times when we see adjustments or we see no change to the numbers, a lot of it is well, we changed exports, but we adjusted the ethanol, or we changed exports, but we adjusted crush. This was one of those where not a single thing was changed. The bigger thing that that I'll be looking at is the USDA did play it a little bit safe on Brazil. We were down 1 million tons on Brazil soybean production at 155. But they didn't change the corn. They left that the same at 124. Argentina was up on corn by a million tons and no change on soybeans. And then at the end of the day, with the world-ending stocks actually getting a little bit better for corn, beans, and wheat, corn and wheat were below expectations, a little bit on the friendly side of things here. And soybeans were right at expectations. So overall, this is going to be looked at as a neutral to, I don't really want to say bullish, but maybe slightly friendly report, because they did not make the numbers that much more bearish, I guess is the best way to look at it.
Right, and that is very interesting, because we are kind of at that point where if it's not, you know, super bearish looking, that's almost, you know, a good thing in itself, right?
Yeah, that's the case. I mean, things are about as bearish as they need to be at this point. So anytime we see that they don't get worse, we feel like, okay, we've got a little bit of a reprieve. Now, what we've already seen over the last couple of weeks is you've seen the funds, or you've seen at least open interest declining on these corn and bean markets. And, you know, last week we saw the first indication of maybe the funds lightening up on their position. They went from a record short of 340,000 contracts to 295,000 contracts. We'll find out this afternoon what they did through this past Tuesday. Maybe we'll start to see the soybeans kind of follow suit from the corn. come off of their short position. They're about 95% of their record short. They're sitting about 161,000 contracts short at this time. So as of right now, this market is not necessarily bullish, but it certainly feels like we're getting some breathing room from the bottom that we saw last week or the week before.
And then with those, not as much cuts as we were maybe expecting to see from the USDA, moving forward, are we thinking they'll slowly move out those cuts that we were possibly expecting, or are they maybe just, as the trend has shown a little bit, just going to lay off on making those cuts?
It's hard to tell. We look at what the USDA tends to do. They're very slow to make changes sometimes. Sometimes it comes all at once and it surprises everybody. But for the most part, when it comes to production numbers, they will put this thing into a real slow decline if it's getting worse. And we've already seen CONAB. We haven't seen CONAB for this month, but we saw CONAB last month was sub 150 for beans, and they had a lower number for corn as well. But the USDA is now playing catch up on that, and they proved just off of this report, they're not willing to make those big cuts just yet.
All right, Greg, lots of great information today. For those of our listeners who'd like to get in touch and learn more from the folks at Allendale, how can they do that?
Give us a call at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
Well, we're not quite done with Greg. We're going to put him back in the back hallway until we're ready to talk livestock. But Andy Peterson's back, and he's got some more Iowa Ag Matters for us.
Number three.
Helping cattle producers equip their animals with electronic ID tags is $15 million that is included in the just-passed fiscal year 2024 USDA spending bill. Former head of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Todd Wilkerson, says the EID funds will go a long way towards improving cattle traceability and reducing the financial burden on producers.
Number two.
A bullish reaction to a really neutral report, USDA's WASD on Friday, didn't change a whole heck of a lot, but Greg McBride with Allendale telling the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network the markets have faced so many bearish factors recently that a neutral report really is almost a positive.
The bigger thing that I'll be looking at is the USDA did play it a little bit safe on Brazil. We were down 1 million tons on Brazil soybean production at 155. But they didn't change the corn. They left that the same at 124. Argentina was up on corn by 1 million tons and no change on soybeans.
Markets are taking a slight step back here today, but to Greg's point about the South American crop size, a lot of private estimates are up to 10 million metric tons below that USDA number.
Number one.
Research and development continues to be important, and an Iowa farmer will be one of the Mosaic Frontier Fields farmers in 2024. That's Andrew Folk near Villisca, who says he was involved in BioPath trials a year ago.
I had a farm that maybe didn't have the best fertility. It was maybe a lower producing area is what I'd call it. And it's trying to figure out how to bring it up, not just piling on fertilizer, because that really hasn't done anything. I've tried different rates. So I started looking at stuff that I don't understand. And so through biologicals, we hear a lot of things but don't know everything about them. So there's only one way to do it, to learn, is by doing. And so that's how I got started.
He says he plans to incorporate more acres, including his better performing acres, and wants to see how much improvement he sees there as well. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Well, we're going to take a look at what those midday numbers are doing here, both grain and livestock, coming up on Iowa Ag Matters. So stay with us. This is the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, online at iowaagnet.com.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. China's producer price index was lower for the 17th straight month. This may be offering some weakness to commodity markets this morning. Brazil is not expected to receive much rain over the next 10 days. The weather maps do have some rain in the extended forecast, but at this time there's not much confidence in the reports. Argentina, on the other hand, has moisture in the forecast over the next 10 days or so. Significant U.S. inflation data will be released this week, including consumer price index data, the federal budget deficit, producer price index data, jobless claims, and other reports. The equity markets may be anticipating unfriendly news since they are lower this morning, and some of this weakness might spill over into the commodities. On Friday's WASD report, the USDA raised Chinese soybean imports, which is the first time they have deviated from China's numbers and the pace of imports to date. This is interesting given the fact that on the report, Brazilian supply wasn't really adjusted in any way that would reflect this change. That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Mark, here's your livestock update as we start a brand new trading week. Cattle first, of course, daily estimated slaughter total numbers, 97,000 head. That is 3,000 less than a week ago and 15,000 less than a year ago, continuing that trend of weaker on Mondays. As far as the box movement goes, about average movement. Prices are stronger once again. 65 loads of choice cuts selling up 43 cents, 307.04. Select is up $1.17 to $297.43 on just 10 loads of movement, which means the spread narrows down below 10 bucks to $9.61. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter total numbers, so we see 442,000 head. That's 43,000 less than a week ago, 44,000 less than a year ago. Cash market-wise, by the way, there was a decent number of Saturday kills at over 100,000 head. But cash market-wise, let's wrap up Friday's numbers for comparison purposes. We finished barrels and gilts, producers sold on a carcass basis, negotiated purchase-wise with a light run of 3,112 head. And the weighted average price was down 99 cents to 76.18. Formula purchases, about an average number of sales, 152,000 head and some change to the weighted average price of $80.03. That market was 12 cents stronger. Now, as far as what's happening here today, only 1,800 head of negotiated purchases were sharply higher, up 247, weighted average price, 76.35. Formula purchases, 115,000 head, so a little bit lighter on those numbers as well. Weighted average price is 80.74, so that market is 71 cents stronger.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
At midday, May corn is up one even at 440 and three quarters. May soybeans down 4 3/4 at 1179 and a quarter. May soybean meal down $3.80 at 337.60. May soybean oil up 44 cents at 46.61. On the Merck, April live cattle up 32 cents at 187.92. March feeder cattle down 80 cents at 248.40. April lean hogs down 65 cents at 83.72. April pork cutout unchanged at 92.20, and Class 3 milk down 11 cents at 16.46. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Why don't we go into the livestock portion of the markets? Greg McBride from Allendale continuing the conversation with Mark Magnuson.
Let's flip over to the protein sector and what's happening with the livestock.
It's more of a sideways grind still in this cattle market. We are seeing some good box beef numbers. So we've seen decent cash trade. But after that run-up into early February, we've pretty well gone sideways for the last month. We did see new highs for the move on Friday. We filled the gap that we've been watching for quite a while on that April contract, and then finished down with a little bit of a reversal. We did not see a technical reversal, just was a rejection of the highs. Similar idea on the feeder cattle, and then on the hog market, a nice strong move to the upside has now been punctuated by a sideways move for about the last week and a half to 2 weeks in that market. So continue to watch that. There's a gap below us on the hog market here that we'll need to be paying attention to as we start to look more towards those summer contracts and grilling season. Right now we're at decent prices, but we've kind of stalled that rally out a little bit.
Was there anything in the WASD report on Friday that relates to the livestock that caught your eye?
Yeah, there's always production notes put into the back of the USDA WASD report. So there wasn't anything that was massive that I would be really reacting to start today. It does look like we're going to start kind of flat, at least to get us going for this week here in a few minutes. But overall, nothing that was really earth-shattering. We'll watch for hogs and pigs reports. That's a quarterly report, or the monthly cattle on feed report to see if there's anything that could shake these markets out of their sideways pattern, or even get them allowed to work that next leg up in the breakout.
And then, Greg, for us here in the Corn Belt, is there any indication that we're going to have any moisture headed our way here in the upcoming future? Because we could sure use it.
Yeah, little bits here and there. We are starting to hear more talk about the potential for going back into a La Nina pattern as we go into the back half of spring and summer, which can tend to dry things out, so we'll be watching for that. But there is some rain in the forecast over the next couple of weeks, but nothing that's substantial. A little bit here and there, but you know, a lot of times we don't necessarily mind if we can go into the planting season on the drier side, planting the dust, your bins the bust type mentality. It's just a matter of we need to see the temperatures warm up, and I think that's going to start to happen a little bit this week.
Greg McBride of Allendale, our guest here today. Greg, thanks so much for the time. What's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
Just call it 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
Greg, thanks for taking the time to join us here on this Monday morning. Have a great week.
Thank you, Mark.
Now that the calendar shows March, prep for the 2024 planting season is well upon us. And we'd like to remind you of a few extra steps to help reduce the safety risk during the heat of that planting season. There's the obvious. Make sure all that safety equipment is in proper working order as part of your routine preparations. But also try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be dangerous. This message furnished by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, getting ready to wrap up Iowa Ag Matters. Going to continue our talks with Iowa Corn Growers Association Commodity Classic. That's next here on Iowa Ag Matters. Well, we know that the decision on E15 in 8 Midwestern states was supposed to take the EPA 60 days. It took 600 days. And, of course, that doesn't mean the battle is over, because we still have to wait another year before its implementation, and that's only affecting 8 states. So, of course, Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, one of those that is still fighting to get this all year-round, all across the country, and have that option open. We talk about the situation with E15 as we wrap up our conversation with her here today. E15, as we mentioned, we got the EPA to approve it, but they've waited another year. And that's on top of the fact that their 60-day period that they were supposed to make a decision turned into a 600-day period, And we're still waiting. I know you joined in on the letter that was sent by the Iowa delegation to Administrator Regan saying, hey, why are we waiting another year? Why can't we do it in the next month or so and get it done? And I know I asked Secretary Vilsack, and of course, he's not EPA. And we know that he's supported Iowa producers and supported the ethanol industry. And I just asked him, you know, why is it that we have to keep putting Band-Aids on this? Why don't we just fix the problem? And I don't know, why is that so hard to get this done? And why are we still seeing a delay of another year after basically a 2-year delay to begin with?
Right. And this is my great frustration as well, Dustin, is that Secretary Vilsack, he sits in the USDA office. However, he doesn't have oversight of biofuels. That does fall under EPA. But at the same time, he is the former governor of the state of Iowa, the state that produces the most ethanol in the United States. You would think that having been the governor of Iowa and that you are the USDA secretary, which biofuels benefit ag, right? That you would have an oversized voice in visiting with the EPA administrator and really supporting our biofuels products. I mean, that's a no-brainer for anyone that's in ag, especially our ag secretary, that he would be out there championing all day and night the benefits of biofuels, how it helps our farmers, how it helps our rural communities, and making sure that the EPA administrator knew all of that. Again, it's a great frustration. He never seems to be overly warm to the idea of going to another agency and doing something that will help our Iowa farmers.
And, you know, how much of that could we think, and this is, of course, just speculation, how much it could be being saying, hey, get a toe the line in the administration amongst all these interdepartmental things.
Yeah, exactly. And we see this in so many of the agencies. They're all towing the line. Okay, we all need to drive an electric car. You know, we need to get rid of liquid fuels. And so I think that is the pressure that's being put upon Secretary Vilsack, is that, hey, dude, you know, you need to forget about these liquid fuels and get on board with all of us as we grow the China electric battery industry. You know, let's support them over our Iowa farmers. So unfortunately, this administration has taken a wrong turn, whether it's through the EPA and some of the extraordinary rules that they are trying to put in place, which will really hinder our ag industry, and not for any strong reason. And of course, pushing back on USDA and agriculture in general. We know they'd love to see livestock industry go away, electrification of cars. I mean, there's just so many pressures that our farmers and ranchers feel just through this administration.
All right. Well, Senator, we thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us and give us an update, and look forward to talking with you again real soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for covering all these topics, Dustin. We have a lot going on here in Washington, D.C.
It's March. Even though, for the most part, this winter has been overly mild, there's still nothing quite like the excitement of planting season and new life and growth right around the corner. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. It's fun. It can be breathtaking. And also be a very dangerous time of year. Hi there, Andy Peterson, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, with a quick reminder of a few things we can do to help reduce that risk during the very busy planting season, like thoroughly inspecting all equipment before going to fields. Try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be the difference sometimes between life or death. Planting season is a sprint, yet it's also important to do it right and be cognizant of what's happening around you and come home safely to your families each and every evening. We want to be around to have our discussions about the growing season after planting season has concluded. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Well, it's hard to believe that another week has come to a close. It's been a crazy busy week once again, and we've covered it well for you here on Iowa Ag Matters. Look forward to more market reaction next week from today's WASDE report and the moisture that's falling here, hopefully beneficial. Drought Monitor continues to show 99% of the state in some form of drought condition, so we definitely need the rainfall. Thanks to Dustin, Riley, Mark, Ross, and you for joining us this week on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. This has been Iowa Ag Matters. Have a great weekend.